We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I just want to get you all thinking about a little something for later on in the show. How many shrimp have you eaten in one setting? You can put a poundage on it, or you can put a price on it. Because we have a guy who ate, let's just say, somewhere in between 10 and 20 pounds of shrimp in an eight-minute sitting. So I want to definitely talk to you all about that later on, because I don't think it's possible. And where he ate them at, and that spicy sauce, he might feel like JP felt when he ate the hot sauce. Let's go back to the phone lines. We're trying to keep this little mindset today about favorite memories, because we feel there are going to be some more memories made coming up this weekend as Washington takes on Dallas at FedEx Field. Let's go to Colonial Beach and talk to Brian. What's up, Brian? How you doing, man?
Hey, B. Mitch. How you doing?
Doing good, brother.
Awesome. Hey, yeah, my favorite moment or memory, it was actually a pretty boring game, but it was the season opener, September 2010, when right before the half, D'Angelo Hall runs back for a touchdown. That was our only touchdown. And then the end of the game was the other play when Dallas thought they scored and won the game, and there was a holding call and negated it all, and we went crazy at the stands.
All right. Hey, it doesn't have to always be exciting. Just like you said, I've said many a time, it's all about the W.
That's it.
All right, man. That sounds good right there. You got the Washington football team. It's all about the W. W, Washington, W, wins. Go to North Carolina. And Rick is going to take it back a little farther for you. So for some of our seasoned listeners and callers, check this out. What's up, Rick? How you doing, man?
I like where you explained that, man. Some of the season. Yeah, I like that. But it's true. I'm 63, so I can go back 50 years. My favorite memory was the 72 championship game when they beat Dallas and Kilmer to Charlie Taylor. And I think it was a game when Sam Weich was a backup quarterback. He was talking about, die, you dirty dog. And, of course, my least fondest memory, it was back in the 70s, 1979. Captain America kicked us out of the playoffs to Tony Hill to end that season at 10-6. And I think John Riggins, I think he retired after that year, and he came back in 81. But, yeah, that was Roger Staubach. I think that was his last year, too. But that was like the I think that would hurt more than a Thanksgiving Day game with Clint Longley. But, yeah, I'm on nostalgia. The 80s, I don't know, the 80s really wasn't – and I don't know, get too excited about the 80s Cowboys. I think the Cowboys have like – a downturn there in the 80s. I think it was more Washington than the Giants in the 80s back then. But, yeah, B. Mitch, you was probably, what, 2 years old in 1970?
In what year?
What the hell? It was 1972. Were you like,
I was four. I was four then.
Oh, you was four. I mean, I don't know. Did you have a team back then? Or do you don't? It's too young for you back then. Who were you, the Saints?
I'd rather not talk about that. Actually, I was never a Saints fan. I was a Cowboy fan when I was younger. When they fired Tom Landry, I stopped liking the Cowboys. And then when Doug came here, I started liking Washington. And I ended up getting drafted by Washington.
New Orleans is close to Dallas, so I can see that.
Well, the Saints didn't win that. You know, people wore bags on their heads. It's kind of hard to cheer for a team when they call them the Aints.
The Aints. Also, you dropped them after they let Tom Landry go.
Yes. Huh? And it was before I got paid by Washington, I did. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Tom, he was there forever. You know, you just like, man, is he ever going to quit or get fired? And The only one had the nerve to do it was Jerry Jones.
Yep. That's
all right,
it,
man. Have a blessing.
Appreciate you, Rick.
Hey, man, I'm from up there. What is electricity flowing through the city like it used to be with the Cowboys?
It's not completely, but you know what? I think it's our obligation. JP say he wants to get what was this saying again, Lanford? Get FedEx Field rocking again, bumping again. And I'm at least try to get it in the air so people understand it's Dallas week and we got to get it out there.
They should let us allow to use the home game for RFK against Dallas until they tear it down.
Hey, that would be special. All right, brother. Appreciate you, man.
All right, man. Have a great day.
All right, breaking news here. Adam Schefter just said, and many people who thought Montez Sweat may be have a possibility of coming back. Well, he's going to be out for 10 days. Washington football team pass rusher Montez Sweat, who missed the past four games with a fractured jaw, was expected to return to practice today, but he tested positive for COVID, per a source. Sweat now is expected to be out the next 10 days, which likely will sideline him for two more games. So, you know what? Is that the point where we don't know what's going to happen with that? But listen, the other guys have filled in and stepped up. They've changed their scheme up to help themselves out. And, I mean, I'm sure guys will want to make comments on that, too, when you make the calls in. So 800-636-1067. But we're going to continue on with your favorite memories of the Dallas and Washington rivalry. And if you just hadn't heard, Montez Sweat has tested positive for COVID and will be out for 10 days, which possibly means another two games that he can miss. Let's go to Lou in D.C. What's up, Lou? How you doing, man?
Hey, B.
What's happening?
Man, I'm good, man. Let me turn this thing down, man. I'm good. How you doing, B. Mitch?
Doing good, brother. You going to turn that radio down, Lou, like you said?
I did.
All right, there you go. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
The thing is playing trick on me, man. This phone is... I have you on my speaker, on my car, but can you hear me now? I know you can hear me.
I got you. Go ahead.
All right. Now, you know, Santana got to be up there, and then, you know, that Thursday night, you know, the Thanksgiving game with RG3.
Yeah.
I mean, when he lit up those Cowboys, man, it was one of the best Thanksgiving, you know, that I had sitting watching this game. So, yeah, those two. And also, as far as Montez, man, you know, I think we better off without him right now at this point because, you know, the team got some type of content. Like, you know, they got some type of connection. So they doing well, you know, I guess it's, you know, it's not a good look, you know, when you know, test a positive for COVID. But at the end of the day, man, you know, there's nothing you can do about it, man. Look, sit on down for the next, two games, 10 days, and come back and hopefully, you know, better than strong, man. So get your jaw straightened out and, That's all I wanted to say. I appreciate you taking my call, brother.
Appreciate you.
All right.
Let me ask this question, though, before I go to the next call. So, Michael, we'll be coming to you shortly. Aaron Rodgers tested positive, and he don't get tested again the rest of the year. So that means after Montez come back, he won't have to get tested again. Am I right?
Yeah, I think if you test positive, there's like a three-month period where they don't test you
anymore. They don't test you again because you have the antibodies.
Yeah,
and I think ultimately what this means, instead of 5 days, it's 10 days. It means he's not vaccinated.
You're right.
So the NFL tries to keep things positive. I mean, things quiet, but and secretive. But they have rules that basically tell you exactly what's going on. Let's go to Michael in St. Mary's. What's up, Mike? How you doing, brother?
Hey, how you doing too?
Doing good, man.
I like to say that. Unfortunately, everybody, I'm a Cowboys fan.
All right.
And what I want to say is that we have beaten the Washington Redskins 73 times, and I think you all have beaten us 47 times. So 73 to 47, that tells you who's the best. However, here's a good thing, though. Ever since my father passed away in 2012, I became a Washington Redskins fan for as my second team.
Man, you can't be a Washington team fan and no damn Cowboy fan.
I'm the only person in Washington, D.C.
No. So what do you do when they play each other?
The second team is the Redskins.
What do you do when they play each other?
I mean, of course, I'm you know, Cowboy. You know,
well, that means you're a Cowboy fan, man.
No. When I don't play the Cowboys, I root for the Redskins all the time when y'all don't
see,
play the Cowboys. I'm gonna let it go
because you said since your dad passed away and it's sentimental to you.
He was a diehard. He was a diehard Redskins fan.
See, if it wasn't like that, man, so I wouldn't let that go. We have to kick you off the bus.
But yeah, but once we beat y'all, then I'm back as a fan again. You know, once y'all I play somebody else. So.
Nah, man. Once y'all lose, you mean? And hey, look, after y'all lose on Saturday, I'll be running around here with no damn burgundy and gold pom pom stuff now. Seriously.
But just remember, though, we beat y'all 73 times. Y'all only
we
did
don't care. Just
times.
Remember, I have 3,200 something yards against y'all, too.
Okay.
All right.
All right. See y'all later.
Later.
Okay, bye.
You can't do that. No. You could be an AFC team, but they can't be the biggest rivalries. You cannot have the two teams like that.
That's not how that works.
No.
You can't have the biggest rival
of
the team.
You can't be a guy that you're going to watch a game and you're going to be clapping the whole time
right.
Because you're going to cheer for the team that's doing well. Nah, that's not happening.
Pick the Falcons as your second team.
Yeah.
It would even be borderline acceptable if you're from Texas to have the Texans as your second team. You can't.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough right there.
No.
All right, let's go to Fredericksburg. Check out Larry. Larry, what's up, man? Take us down memory lane.
Two plays. Ken Houston stacking up Walt Garrison at the goal line to win the game.
Heard that one a good pair of times.
Yeah, I wish I could listen all the time. I would have known. And the other one's probably been said was Darrell Green running down Tony Dorsett from about 15 yards behind when Darrell was a rookie.
That dude can run, can't he?
Yeah, he could.
And
I think he might still outrun
some guys in the league right now, and I think he's over 60.
I believe he could.
Oh,
he's in shape.
All right, Larry, appreciate your call, man.
All right, thanks. All right,
let's try to get some more calls in before we get the break here. We're going to go to Jay in D.C. What's up, Jay? How you doing, man?
D-Mix, what's good,
on? What's
how
happening, brother?
Today, man?
Good, brother.
Ain't nothing much. Hey man, I wanted to say, man, the best play that I from the Redskins Dallas Brown was when LeVar Arrington in the Troy Aikman career. I don't know when I said it yet, but while sitting there watching that game and watching LeVar fly to the screen and watching Aikman fly out the screen, man, that was the best. And like I said, that's why my it stays up there for me. I can never doubt because that play right there solidifies for me what the rivalry is to see Troy Aikman on that sideline knowing. His career possibly over and ended by a Redskin. Man, that's top shelf there.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say, man.
All right, man.
We're good, home.
Appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate it.
And I think when you look at that, we were looking at that video earlier, and I think anybody out there that wants to just check that out, go ahead and check it out on YouTube. LeVar comes out of nowhere. Like he was running at a different speed than everybody else was on the field.
He's not in the screen. There's like two Washington players trying to run down Troy Aikman. LeVar is nowhere to be seen. Then he just comes out of nowhere and destroys him.
Yeah, that's how it was.
Clean hit, too.
Yeah, it was clean.
Clean hit.
Nothing illegal about it. Your ball was still in the hand. And right when he was releasing it, he was on his way down to the ground, and he did not get back up. Let's go to James. Let's go to Centerville. What's up, James? How you doing, brother?
Hey, B-Mitch, man. First of all, man, I just want to say, man, you was the greatest. You always played with heart, bro. You kept it real, bro. But, My favorite,
thank you, man.
My most memorable time was when it got to be Santana Moss. And it was sentimental because I was dating my now wife, and I thought we lost her. She was going to give me a little bit of sympathy, and I heard the bombs going off. And the first one, the strike, I had the TV on, and she looked, and she like, are we going to finish? I'm like, yeah, baby, yeah. But the second one, she was like, just stop.
Hold on. So you telling me you were watching a football game and paying attention at that moment?
I had the game on. I wasn't watching it. I was looking at her. But I heard, my dog. And I turned around and looked like, really? I'm like, nah, baby. Like that. Come on.
And then
the second one, she was like, just stop. Hey, thanks for taking my call, B-Man. All
right, James. Oh, man. We are not going to forget that. When we start talking about Washington and Dallas memories, we're going to remember James was watching the game. Well, listening to the game, but he was trying to – he was more focused on the game than he was anything else, seems like to me. That is hilarious. Let's go to D.C. and check out Tim. Tim got a lot of memories. What's up, Tim?
Hey, B, how you feeling, big brother?
I'm good, man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. My favorite, I don't know if it's been said, I just tuned in, but my favorite play against the Clown Boys was when my man Dexter Manley smashed Danny White into the ground, and the ball was tipped, and Daryl Grant caught it off the interception and ran it in for the touchdown. That game had, you know, major implications on it as far as who was going to go to the Super Bowl. And, man, we beat them dudes. Man, that was one of the very best Redskins games ever against the Cowboys, maybe the best. And also, man, the last guy, man, who called in the Redskins, the Cowboys slash Redskins fan, man, that guy's a clown, man. I want to grab him and give him some noogies on top of his head, man, for calling and saying something like that.
All right, brother.
Appreciate you. Take care, brother.
All right, man. Yeah, it's hard for us to accept that one, though. You know, you can't be cheering for both teams. I don't get it. I don't get it. All right, we're going to go down to North Carolina, take Darren before we take a break here. DNC, what's up, brother?
Doing pretty good. Thank you for taking my call, B. Mitch. I'm sitting here watching one of my favorite memories from 2018 when Kerrigan forced the fumble and Preston Smith picked up the ball to score that touchdown in our end zone. And I want to say that game was a close one because it's just finished when that kicker missed the 3 points and taken in the overtime. To me, that one was my favorite because it was a nail biter from beginning to end, and it simplified and it basically broke down how that season was going that whole year up until Alex Smith got hurt and then losing the lead in the division. So I put that up there at the top for me because that's recent memory. Of course, Santana Moss up there. And I'm going to end it with this, man. I'm going to give a real big shout-out and flowers to John Kime because he didn't have to do what he did yesterday, taking time out of his day to Zoom call and talk to me just to talk ball. And I really appreciate that, man. He's a legend in my eyes, just like you are, in the 106.7 of the Fan family. Thank you, and hail to the Burgundy and Gold.
All right, Darren. Appreciate you, brother. All right, we gotta take a break here, and we get back. We're gonna be joined by our buddy Ben White from Politico, chief executive correspondent for Politico, and we're gonna get a lot of different things. Ben is a big Washington football team fan, and also we're gonna find out some other things from Ben. You know, Pfizer has done some things that made the market go up. All types of things are going on out there, but we're gonna take a quick break.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, welcome back. And when you hear that song, you know who's coming on. That's our friend Ben White, Chief Economic Officer from Politico. And Ben joins us every Wednesday at 11:30. You can follow him on Twitter at Morning Money Ben. Ben, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well, Brian. Good to be with you. Psyched for Dallas week, so you let JP have a day off.
All right, kind of, sort of. All right, he just told us, I'm going to take a day off and y'all just handle it by yourself. But Ben joins on the BetQL guest line presented by the BetQL Network, wagertainment for every fan, morning, afternoon, and night. Get sports betting tips from the best in the game, streaming now on Odyssey. Ben, we've been asking everybody their favorite memory or moment in this Dallas and Washington rivalry. What's yours?
Yeah, I got a lot of them. You know, obviously I've watched a lot of Dallas Washington games over the year. I guess in recent years, it's the RG3 game, the Thanksgiving game. I guess it was 2012 when he really just lit up Dallas. And, you know, I remember they wound up coming back a little bit late, but I think it was 38, whatever it was. But he was just on fire, hitting Pierre Garçon and everybody else. And that was sort of peak, or not peak, but on the way to peak RG3 that year before everything kind of went south. So that's a good one. And then, you know, I was just rewatching this on YouTube. You can see the whole game, the 1982 NFC Championship game, you know, Riggins and the rest, RFK, Rocket, and Daryl Grant getting the tip for the touchdown. And I was 10 at that point, so it's when I really started to be a hardcore fan of the team. So 82, probably NFC Championship, and then November of 2012 for the Thanksgiving game.
All right, man. That's some good things out there. But that, you know, you got this game coming up this week, and it seemed like both teams have taken a turn. Washington started off not playing very well, and now they're playing well. Dallas started off absolutely on fire, and now they don't seem to be consistent as they were. No. You know, what do you think Washington needs to do to make sure they keep Dallas playing like that?
Yeah, I mean, Dallas' offense has not been anywhere near as kind of dynamic and dominant as it was, you know, first few weeks of the season. Still very good, and they got great weapons, and Dak's got, you know, good wide receivers, and you never know, you know, when they're going to Ezekiel Elliott's going to go off. So the potential is there for the Dallas D to, the Dallas offense to reignite, and Washington simply has to stop that from happening on defense. And, you know, they've given us some confidence lately that they're capable of doing that, given how much better the D has played, you know, over the last 4 weeks in this win streak. So I think limit the big plays from Dak to the wideouts, stomp on Zeke early, never let him get any momentum, and then keep the game close. Like, they're not going to blow out Dallas. It's going to be tight. It's going to be typical Washington football team scrapping towards the end, but you just got to keep them away from the deep shots and, you know, big Zeke game, and then you can, you know, hopefully win it late.
You know, I watched the Monday Night Football game. You get a chance to watch that one this week?
I did, yeah. It was incredible in the wind.
See, and they ran the ball 43 times. Everybody else, it was boring, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look, man, that's real football. That's when you're running the football because that's all you can do. And they know you're running the football, but they can't stop you. That is old school Washington football.
I know. It was a beautiful thing. Like, I remember the end of that 82 game is the one where you know, Grimm and Jacoby and the rest are just like, you know, we're just going to keep running, 50 gut, 70 gut until Randy White and they could stop, and they couldn't. You know, and that's the same thing that Belichick did with New England. And, you know, even though early on, you know, had a couple sort of long third downs, he ran, didn't get them, but then he had the one big run in the first half for a touchdown, and then it was the way to win in the second half. It was a pretty brilliant Belichick game call, three total passes, and, just smash mouth, see if you can stop the football.
And I say that because that's what Washington seems to be doing now offensively.
Yes.
Where they are running the football behind Antonio Gibson, and they're getting a lot of carries, and they're not saying Taylor Heinicke can handle everything. You know,
right.
I think when they take the game out of his hands, per se, they have a better chance of winning. When they start getting over 35 and more of passes like that, that's when things go wrong. Is that the recipe, you think, for them to have a lot of success as they go forward?
Oh, 100%. They got to keep that balance, and I like that they stick with AG and the run, you know, even if maybe it's not paying huge dividends early. You know he's going to keep pounds, and he'll break one or two as the game goes on. And, you know, you got to keep Dallas' offense off the field for one in this one. And that's, you know, true of December, January games. You know, they're always dependent on being able to run the ball in the elements. So there's that. And then particularly this weekend, I think, you know, Heinicke is the kind of quarterback when you need him to make plays. You know, he can make the plays and he can win a game on a game-winning drive. You know, he thrives in those situations. But you don't want him throwing 35 or 40 times a game because he's going to throw a couple of bad picks. You know, it's just the way it is. If you force him into that, he's going to make mistakes. So, you know, do it 25, whatever it is, even more runs if you can. Neutralize the Dallas pass rush. You know, they got great pass rushers coming at Heinicke this Sunday. So the more you run the ball, the less those guys are sacking Taylor Heinicke.
Speaking of pass rushers, they have Randy Gregory is supposed to be back. DeMarcus Lawrence played 37 last week. He's going to be back. And we've already seen what the young dude has been doing. He's been playing out his mind. So, do you have any concern for them, or do you have a lot of confidence in his offensive line? Because they seem to be playing like the Hawks.
Yeah, they are. You know, Eric Flowers has been great. You know, they've played like the Hogs on the counter plays, you know, where they get downfield and zone block, and it's reminded me of those years. But they need to do more of that. I do have concerns, you know, with their pass rush and number 11 and DeMarcus. You know, it's dynamic, you know, and if they are able to tee off early and if they get a lead early, you know, 14-0, you know, 17-3 or whatever, and we're playing from behind, and Taylor's got to drop back, you just put him in a position where these guys are going to get after him. So can't afford to do that. That's why you run the ball. That's why you put, you know, AG in there for 25, 30 carries, get him close to 100 yards, and then you're in the game. If you're dealing with their amped up pass rush early on, it's not going to be good.
Well, Ben, you know, every week we ask you something in the financial sector as well, and I've been looking at all this stuff going on with President Biden and also the president of China. Is that going to affect the economy in any type of way if they don't get something worked out?
Yeah, no, not in the near term. I mean, we don't have the kind of really tendentious relationship with China we did under President Trump, where there's sort of constant threat of trade wars and trade battles. It would be good, you know, if we could get more, you know, trade deals done with China and deal with all the tariffs that were imposed under President Trump and get to a slightly better place. But I think of risk to the economy, you know, there's inflation, there's Omicron, although we got some good news on that front today.
Yes, so I'm anxious about that too. Better.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, the two doses, or three doses.
Three doses.
But yeah, I don't think China's going to be the thing that knocks us off. But it's always, I mean, these are the world's two largest economies, and when they're at odds with each other, it can be challenging for markets.
How big was that when Pfizer came out and said that three doses, that works very well against the Omicron virus?
Yeah, I mean, massive. Massive news for the economic recovery and reopening. That's why you see all these travel stocks doing well today, stocks that are tied towards people, you know, going back and to their normal lives. And if, you know, we can be relatively safe from Omicron, you know, with the booster, then that's really good news.
Yeah, I got mine, so I felt good about that. I made sure the whole family did.
Absolutely. Everybody should get them.
Dad, what should we do? I say I'm going to lead the way, you know, because I think a lot of times they didn't think I would do it in the beginning. And I was like, but I think for myself, I might not do it. When I think for y'all, I'm going to do everything I need to do to protect me and you.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. It's not always just a personal choice. You know, if you were just on your own, it'd be one thing. But you got family, friends, coworkers, everybody else. You got to make a community collective decision to help them out.
But we do have another little conflict with Russia. That won't affect anything either, would it?
No, you know, I mean, we've constantly got conflicts with Russia and Putin over.
And they seem to be having conversations where they seem to be kind of cool, but, you know, you saw a little angst in there.
Yeah, there's definitely some angst in there. And there will continue to be in that contentious relationship. We still don't have, you know, great relations with them. And we're a lot of people worried about their role in our politics over the last couple of elections. So that'll continue. And they'll still be headlines about that. But again, you know, the big thing for the U.S. economy and markets is Omicron and getting past that. And then, of course, what everybody cares about is Washington beat Dallas on Sunday. You know, that's the other thing.
So how comfortable are you feeling about that happening?
Not comfortable. You know, I'd say 50-50 shot. You know, if they do what I said, run the ball and play good D and don't play from behind, they got a good shot. If they get behind early, it's going to be trouble.
All right, Ben. Well, man, appreciate you giving us some time as you do every week.
Enjoy the game.
Take care of yourself, man.
You too.
That's Ben White, Chief Economic Officer. I want to say Executive. Economic Officer from Politico, joining us here on B. Mitch and Finley. We're going to take us a break. We'll be back shortly. Got Doc Walker going to be joining us at 12 o'clock. Later on, Carl Hagelin from the Caps will be joining us around 12:45. And then we'll get into the power rankings at 1 and heard it here first at 1:45. Landfell, before I get to these phone calls, I know this is a show where we love our food. I was looking at this menu someone just sent me, and they got a thing called loaded catfish. It's fried catfish, fried lobster tails, topped with sauteed shrimp, buttered crab, and lobster. Then they also have the loaded salmon that's blackened salmon with fried lobster tail topped with the sauteed shrimp, buttered crab, and lobster. That's going to have to be tried one day. Yeah. We got to definitely jump on that. Let's get these phone calls, and then we're going to talk about somebody eating 17 pounds of shrimp in a matter of 8 minutes. I don't know if it's financially makes sense financially, but or it makes sense to just eat that much. That dude can eat his tail off, watch him many a time. Let's go to Lorton and check out Carl. Carl, what's going on? What's your favorite memory or moment as you watch the rivalry between Washington and Dallas?
Hey, I got a couple, B. Mitch, but first of all, man, I want to I hate the Washington Redskins, but I didn't even like you for a long time while you was playing because you was always a thorn in our side. But once you left and went to Philly and then you start commentating and everything, hey, man, I love you. And if you would play for the Dallas Cowboys, you'd be in the Hall of Fame already.
Hey. It might be something to that, but I mean, Jerry seems to have a better focus on those people than anybody else does. I don't know.
That's right, B. Mitch, and he take care of his player, and you would be one of them. But that's all right, man. I love you anyway. Hey, my fondest memory comes the Cowboys and the Skins were playing at Rao John or what, FedEx Field or wherever they want to call it, and the game went to overtime. And the Cowboy quarterback hit Rocket Ismail with a bomb. And the commentator at the time said, hell, if he was still running, he'd be halfway to Bethesda by now.
I remember that game. I damn sure remember
that
game.
That was a great game. Yeah. One last thing, B-Mitch. I also went to see the Cowboys play. This was back at the old stadium before Jerry World. But I went to see them. They played the Redskins. It was like Troy Aikman's first year. We went 1-15. The only game we won, we beat the Redskins 13-12. It was a great day.
Yep, you happy about that, huh?
I love it, man. Well, you take care of yourself.
They swept y'all last year.
Hall of Fame worthy. Hall of Fame worthy, baby.
Appreciate you, man. They swept y'all last year. So, and then I'm going to say this. Okay, my buddy hit us. Hit me just a minute ago. Reggie Evans, who played for Washington from 82 to 84. He said to the gentleman that pointed out that Dallas had the all-time record against Washington, he said he needs to also understand that Washington holds the advantage in games that meant something. For example, head-to-head playoff games, when you had to go to the playoffs, get knocked out the playoffs, Washington hold that advantage. So when it counts, that's when they have the advantage. So just go check your records out completely. Let's go to Alexandria and check out Josh. What's going on, Josh?
What's up, B-Mitch? How you doing today, man?
I'm good, man.
Somebody earlier brought up the D'Angelo Hall fumble return game.
Oh, yeah.
I got to touch back on that one, man, because that was Monday night. And so that means I had about 4 or 5 hours to tailgate, and I was in good form that night. We were just about ready to head in onto the stadium. Stopped off to, drain the lizard, and I hear a Dallas fan talking smack while I'm doing my business.
Uh-huh.
So I start yelling at him through the porta potty, and I can't even remember what all I said. It's something about, D.C. doesn't stand for Dallas Cowboys. It stands for damn the Cowboys. And I went on and on. And I came out to a standing ovation of Redskins fans. Brother grabbed me by the shoulder, gave me a full glass of Cabassier to drink on the way to the stadium.
Wow.
So when I get there, I am pretty lit, to say the least, man. D'Angelo Hall, he runs that thing back. Place goes nuts. And, I'm screaming, I'm hollering, I'm having a great time. And Dallas fan was walking to the concessions when that happened. I guess he didn't like me having fun. So he gets up in my face trying to start something.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm so drunk, I can't even say no words at this point. I think, man, I just got to deck this dude. But before I can, the female that I was with comes across me, and she gives this man the business so hard, he just walked on down the stairs with his tail between his legs, man. He got called out by a girl, and she got the better of him, and we won the game. So that was hell of a game for me.
Hey,
man.
You say you were drunk. She saved you from getting your butt whooped. You know that, right?
Well, at least I wouldn't feel it.
All right, man. Take care, Josh.
I'm
all right, brother. All right, let's go to Chris in Chesapeake. Three stories. What's up, Chris?
I'd be Mitch, old school RFK. I'm with my little brother. My parents are at the game, have no idea where they are. We had different seats. I said, we got to go. We got to go find mom and dad. It's late. It was night. and I right before the end of the game. So we're leaving, and I said, well, let's watch one more play. And there it was. The sea opened up. My man from the Cowboys is trying to score. Kenny Houston laid him out. We won the game.
Yeah.
I must have been 10 years old with my brother, 7, and 53,000 people. I'm like, we got to get out of here. And then the next one, I had a buddy of mine that played ball with that worked for the Skins. You know him. He got us tickets all the time. I'm watching the Redskins get trounced in Dallas in the end zone. We're miserable. I'm with his brother. And the old stadium was a dry stadium. I don't know if you knew that. So you couldn't buy beer. And you couldn't buy beer until, yep,
really?
Irving. You couldn't buy beer in the stadium until
pathetic.
Jerry bought the team. Oh, yeah. But the bathrooms were made for that, too. So if you had to go, you were in a line forever. You got to have it made on the field. But you could have it in the suites, but you couldn't have it in general population. So people would bring their coolers in, just like a NASCAR race. So I'm sitting up there watching the Skins get trounced, and all these Cowboy fans were just turning around and handing us beers. You know, they were very polite. They were like, hey, glad you made the trip. Have another beer. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then we left.
Wow.
And then a couple of years later, my buddy snuck me into the owner's box because Jack Kent Cook didn't show. So I'm on the 50 in the box with Bobby Bethard, Bobby Mitchell, Dickie Daniels, Mike Thomas, and they're all up there, and I'm eating all the Cowboy food. And first half, Cowboys are killing them, just killing you guys. And the Cowboy fans are turning around because he knew it was the owner's booth and giving us the business. Second half came around, you guys came back, pulled it out, and I just sat there, kept drinking all that Cowboy liquor and beer and all that free food, loving it.
All right. Big time. Good all stuff,
man.
Brother. Thank you, man. That was some personal stuff he can remember there. I wish I was in that damn box. I would have drank everything they had up in there. Let's go to Mechanicsville. Check out Jimmy. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, Brian. What's happening?
Chilling, brother.
Hey, first thing, you're one of my absolute favorite players of all time. Heart, dedicated. Second most yards of all time. You should be in the hall, my brother.
Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, no problem. I got three for you. One, as a child, of course, is World B, tapping that ball in the air. In a personal experience, I was there at a game when Copeland picked up the ball in the end zone and hit it. You remember when he got sacked in the end zone and Copeland got that ball? I believe you were on the team.
Yep, Danny Copeland, yeah.
Yes, sir. And the third was, this one's about you, BMH, because I'm a real fan. One was, when you took that knee on the goal line, what'd they say to you when you got knocked through, when they knocked through you, man?
Oh, he hit me. And he talked trash, but the coach told me to stay on the field. We had a 99-yard touchdown drive there.
Oh, I forgot. Yes, sir. I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Art Monk got the touchdown at the end, and guess who threw the little block to let Mark do it? Bam. B. Mitch.
30.
Yeah, they say stay on the damn
30.
Field. You kneel down on the one. You're supposed to stay out there. Get hit.
Can I ask you one more thing?
Yeah.
On top of that, the Buckley situation. What was said between you and Buckley, if you can say that?
we said a lot of things that I can't say, and then he caught me.
Yes, sir.
He caught me clean, you know, but I went back in that game, and then he came here. And we became buddies, you know. You win some, you lose some on that football field.
Hey, I bet you beat him 9 out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
All right, thank you,
bro.
Man.
Appreciate you, man. All right, we're going to take us a break here. We get back, we'll be joined by Doc Walker. We'll get into that 17 pounds of shrimp in 8 minutes thing later on. I'm going to see. Lanford, you think you can beat that?
No way.
I'll bring in the shrimp. You just got to eat them.
Well, if you'll bring in the shrimp, I'll make an attempt.
In 8 minutes.
There's no
17
way.
17 pounds.
That's like 2 pounds a minute.
That's like crazy as hell.
That's insane.
What that is. All right, we're going to take us a break here. This is the Brian. This is B. Mitch and Finley. B. Mitch is here. I'm here. JP's out. He's getting some things together. We'll have him back tomorrow. Talk to you in a few.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.